About to embark upon a brand new limud, a new parak, the third parak of Maseches Avodasra. So just to give a little bit of a background, just in terms of literally the name of the parak, Maseches Avodasra. But the main theme of the next 4 or 5 months that limud is going to be is the principle called Cheskes Gimel Shonim. There's a basic interior that's going to be playing out time and time again throughout our parak. Someone's going to be living in a house, living in land, working land. So we're also going to come over and say, what are you doing in that land? What are you doing in that house? That house is mine. That land was mine. And in fact, the land of the house may very well have been his at one time. We call him the Ma'arir, the person who's questioning. The other fellow says, well, what do you mean? I've been living on the land for X amount of time, and I have proof that I've been living on the land for X amount of time, and you sold me the land X amount of years ago. Who has the upper hand in this din Torah? So the starting point would be, well, why can't you prove it? Why can't you bring a document? Why can't you bring witnesses? The answer is, I don't hold on to my documents forever and ever and ever. And now this din Torah takes place 10 years later. So all of a sudden, I've been living in this house for years and years and years. And Baruch Abu, Ara walks in and says, what are you doing here? And now the din Torah begins to play out. Who has the upper hand in this din Torah? That's the sugya of Chazoch, Chesed Yibushon. So the Mishnah begins with the first of Amakamos by taking us through just about every single possible piece of real estate that existed in the days of the Tanoim. So Cheskes Avakum, so the person is holding on to a house, or Baboros, or the Dintor is revolving around a pit, Mashiach, a ditch, Rabba Ara, about a cave, Mashemches, about the place where people keep their dogs, Mechatzos, bathhouses, Beis Abadim, olive presses, Beis Hashmochin, irrigated fields, the Avadim, or Avadim is a whole other story. Koshos appears to us, the bottom line is these are all examples of items that constantly produce fruit, either literally in the sense of agriculture produce fruit, or the houses that I live in, so living is considered to be using of the item. So the basic halacha tells us, Cheskasan Shomashanami Yamina. So if you live in this area, if you can prove that you've been living in this house, you've been using this field, you've been using this olive press for the past 3 years, that is tantamount to proving that it belongs to you. How in the world does that work? Where's the source of this halacha? So that's really where I'm going to begin. So hope that Shabbat, the weeks and months continue, we're going to be talking about all the intricacies of this halacha. This halacha is going to serve as a springboard for so many rules in the Mamanis and other areas of halacha. It's about Rome and Eidim and Chazakas and Shtaras. It's been literally a Pesach for so much of the Mamanis. But before we get to any of that, we just have to understand where this comes from. Who made this up? I read Pashas Mishpatim, but I don't remember seeing anything about 3 years in the field. What's going on? So comes the Gemara and begins the question. It's the sixth line of the first set of Amakamos. Amar B'Yochanan, Shemati Beholche Usha Shei Omrim. I heard from the people who were traveling to Usha that they used to say the following. Now, if you just read this Gemara in a vacuum, you think, oh, must be a bunch of guys who are going to want to go on vacation. It was a little warm in Usha, I don't know. They're going during winter break to Usha. So they were just kind of schmoozing about this topic. It's not exactly the Hoch Usha or Hoch Usha was the Sanhedrin. Because the Gemara tells us the Maseches Rashana that the Sanhedrin, right before the Churban, so the Sanhedrin actually left the Mikdash itself 40 years before, and then it was in Mishraim, another place that it kept on going. It was traveling, particularly in the north. It went to Yavne for a while, then it went up to for the north. As they get further and further away from the Romans, that's pretty much where the travel of the Sanhedrin was. So one stop, along the 10 stops until they disbanded entirely, was a city by the name of Usha. So the Holchei Usha were known as the Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I heard from the Beis Din, from the Dayanim, the people who were traveling, and they ended up in Usha. I heard them raise the following question: Minayim lechazaka gimosharim. What is the source of this din? The Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about it like as if everyone knows where it comes from. Minayim lechazaka gimosharim. Where does it say in the Chumash this halacha that somehow living in a house for 3 years gives you the upper hand. So I proved I lived there for 3 years. I no longer have to prove literally that I actually bought it. Where did that halacha of Chesed Yerushalayim come from? So comes the Chavrusha and say, a startling source, Yerushalayim 1. I was joking before when I said, I read Parshas Mishpatim the other day and I didn't see it. I didn't look carefully enough. It's in Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim. It doesn't say houses, it doesn't say years, it doesn't say eat it. But it gives you a sukkah called Shorboard. Shorboard means that if I own an ox, and a pretty normal, calm, relaxed ox, it has a bad day, and it goes in and gores somebody, or gores another animal, gores a person. So I have to pay for that, but not totally. I have to pay Ketoras a short time. I pay half damages. Then it happens a second time. Also having a bad day. I also pay half damages. Third time, fourth time. If it happens several times, so I'm trying to be very, very vague. And I threw out the number 3, 4. I don't want to commit myself yet to everything. But somewhere in the multiple times, after a gore X amount for multiple times, all of a sudden the halacha changes. Instead of a chatzin is kaspul, instead of being chatzin, as the Torah says, all of a sudden chatzin has become a nezek shalim. So say the halacha, oh, what do you see from here? You see that when things repeat themselves multiple times, particularly 3 times, the halacha recognizes that, and the halacha changes. And therefore, we look at the shore through a different set of eyes. So too, come to Chirusha, and they say, just as Masha Mua came to Navach, given the Gichos, Navach Lemecheskis Tam, come to Cheskis Buat, Achinami came to Achla Tlashanim. So too, when I eat the fruit, or I live in the house, or I use the outer press for 3 years, Navach Lemecheskis Mechem, come to Mecheskis Lokeach. So too, it leaves the Rishus of the Mecher, and it enters into the Rishus of the Lokeach, and he now wins the Dintara. So if I was writing the Gemara, I would have one question on the whole Chirusha. If I ask a question somewhere along the lines of, huh? What? like, what in the world is the connection between, except for number 3, I don't see anything else, any correlation, living or dead, between the sugya of a shore goring, becoming chayav to ben as a shalit, and sitting on the field for 3 years and eating the fruit, and all of a sudden you get the owner of the field. So clearly there is something in between the lines here that we are missing, this comparison. So just think we're going to get to that question. That is the most basic, fundamental question of the sugya, is that what in the world did the Hokhi Yusha mean in comparing the two? They seem to be, I can't even call apples and oranges, it's much different areas. Like, what should they do with each other? That's obviously the most fundamental question. The sugya, which also meant Hashem, we're going to get to it great length. But that's not even the Gemara's first question. The first question the Gemara asks on is very, very technical. Very often there's a style of the Gemara. Before the Gemara gets to the punchline, to the boom, to the real issue, the Gemara starts to pick on some of the, it's like the low-hanging fruit, like the easy questions, and say, wait, you don't have the right numbers. I'm thinking to myself, I don't have the right numbers. I don't even understand the model altogether, but the Gemara says the model will deal with that. We'll deal with that in a tomorrow show. But the numbers don't seem to match up. Why don't the numbers seem to match up? So the Gemara continues. So he asks the Gemara, the first one line is law. Just as by a shor muad, until it gores the 4th time, you don't have to pay full damage. So basically, to be a shor muad, so to speak, it really requires 4 negichos. First one, chazinez. Second one, chazinez. Third one, chazinez. 4th one, now the world changes. So basically, what a... to be transformed from Shurtam to Shamuad, you really need that 4th negicha. Hachinami asks the Gemara, at Shana Reviyas, look how we should say, we should require 4 years of Chesed. Have to change it. Don't go Chesed Gimel Shana, we should go Chesed Dal Shana. The same way that you need 4 to change the rules of a Shamuad, so too you should need 4 years of Achilas Peiros. That was the Gemara's kasha. Gemara says, no, that's not such a good kasha. Well, Hachi Ashta. Once it gores 3 times, it's called a shomuad. So we officially crown it with the name Bista Shoramuad. And you want to know why doesn't it pay? Calls about it hasn't gored a 4th time, it's going to pay yet. So if I'd ask you, at what point does an animal become transformed? What does it change its status from being a shortam to a shomuad? It's after the 3rd negicha is over. The fact that doesn't mean anything until the 4th negicha is because there is no Nekicha to talk about. But Tachlis, bottom line is, the change, the transformation occurred after the magic number three. Hacha, Keva, Da'acha, Tlash, Shani, Kaimel, Ebishusei. Over here, after the three, and that was a magic number, after the 3 years are over, it has changed, it has experienced its transformation. What is the transformation in that sugya? It no longer belongs to the original owner, now belongs to the machzik, to the new owner. So we can breathe a sigh of relief that we've solved the technical question. We've solved the 3-4, a little bit of a discrepancy. The emes is, the number is really three. How come it doesn't line up perfectly? Because it's a technical quirk that Kolzman hasn't gone the fourth time, so there's nothing to pay for. But la'olam, the number is three. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, we're comfortable with saying, Chesed Gemashanim, the right from Shavuot. Now again, obviously, as we said before, the most basic fundamental question of the sugya is that there's absolutely no comparison whatsoever between the two, but we're not even going to get to that yet. We're going to follow the Gemara's footsteps, and we're also going to get a little bit, I don't mean bogged down in a bad way, it wasn't the nitty-gritty part of the sugya. Before we get to the main thrust, the main sugya, this is make sure we get our numbers right. So the Gemara got very, very nervous about the 3-4 numbers, and the Gemara solved the problem. But we're now about to begin a dimension of the sugya that the Rishonim take us on. And wait a second. We were tippling about the numbers. Are we extrapolating properly from Shavuot to Chesed Rishonim? Do we even have the numbers right in Shavuot? The premise of the Gemara was that you don't become a Shavuot until after three Negichas. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, hey, wait a second. How come you need that fourth Negicha? Three is Chayt L'Yav HaShavuot. Nobody in a million years would ever dream of saying that you pay more Nezik Shalem before three full Negichas, i.e. the beginning of the fourth Negicha. That was like, that was obvious. That wasn't even up for question. There are so many other questions we could ask in the Sugya. That wasn't even up for question. But now you have to stop and ask that question also. Are those facts right? So before we can begin to understand, extrapolate the Chesed Gemoshanim, let's just make sure we have all the facts right in terms of Shavuot. So this part of the Shia is more Baba Kama than it is Baba Basra. This is real Pashat Mishpatim. No matter what you think about the extrapolation of the Chesed Gemoshanim, this is really, really the Sugya of Shavuot. So comes Tosfos on... I'm sorry, not this house. It's the fourth house. It's the fourth Rambam comes. The fourth Rambam comes. So Kamps tells us with a startling introduction. And Tosus says, on the fourth Rambam comes, we can, from our sugya, chazabo Rashi. Rashi backed out from something that he said. That in and of itself is quite, we don't even know what Rashi said. I'm not sure what he said, but I'm not sure why he backed out. I'm not sure why he backed out. But just to make such an assumption that Rashi changed his mind. Rashi backed out from something. Because when he realized that the Gemara of Basra is saying, he had to go back to when he wrote him of a comment and say, wait a second, when I wrote him of a comment, wasn't right. That's quite an accusation, quite a statement about him to Rashi. So grandson the same, the kind of chazab of Rashi. What did Rashi say? What did he retract from? And why did he retract from? So now, let's go back a little bit to the background. Let's go backwards to the third of the Bible comments. Ezu tam de ezu mu'ud. The Mishnah in Bava Kama and Chav Gimel raises the question: what is a short tam? What is a short mu'ud? And there are multiple differences of halacha. The first one being the most obvious, that a short tam only pays chatzi nezek, a short mu'ud pays nezek shalem. There are some other differences as well, that if an animal kills a person, so then either a short tam or a short mu'ud will be chayev misa. By wondering if we killed him already when he was a short tam, how did he get a ches base to become a short mu'ud? Yeah, so we didn't get around to killing him. We decided we're going to kill him. We possibly were going to kill him, but he didn't cooperate with us. He broke out of the basin's barn, and he's still running around and then killing other people in the process. So there are differences, because when a short tam is put to death, so then the owner, the owner doesn't have to pay anything. If and when he becomes a shomuad, and the owner is so negligent, his animal killed three people already in the last 3 days. It's a little bit of a gross negligence at that point. So then not only is the short put to death, but the owner has to pay kosher. He has to pay a whole amount of money as well. So there are important differences between short tam and shavuot. So it's with this background, the Mishnah, yes, eizutam is a mu'ud. How do you know? What's a short tam, what's a shavuot? So mu'ud, the Mishnah says, kol she'idubo shlosha yamin. That it has to have gored, it has to have been warned. That's critical. The owner was warned 3 days for tam. And when does it become a short tam? But it goes 3 days without goring, so easy come, easy go. The same way that it became a short muad through goring 3 days in a row, it becomes the longer short muad reverts back to the state of short tam when it changes its pattern. It shows that it's been reconditioned not to gore anymore. So 3 days have passed, it's become and relaxed. So then it becomes back to being a short tam. The clock starts over again. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir disagrees with both statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Muad she'id bo shloshi pa'amim. Says Rabbi Meir, first of all, it doesn't have to be 3 days in a row. It could be three times, even on the same day. It can't be so spread out. It can't be, let's say, it'll go out today, then it'll go next month, it'll go out in 6 years from now. No. Everyone agrees it has to be within a certain time frame. The Yehuda extends the time frame for three separate days. Rabbi Meir says, no, even one after another is also good. The tam, has it become a short tam? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said that's to pass the test of 3 days of going back to showing that's calm. Rameh says no. Rameh says it has to be calm enough that the little kids are playing with it, stroking it a little bit, playing with the horns a little bit. We're not encouraging this test, but look at that this happened. So then, Baruch Hashem, now it's a nice calm little bull, ox in the zoo, the petting zoo. Then it's okay. Then Baruch Hashem would declare that's become a short time again. So a technical machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, two fronts. Number one, everyone agrees that number three is magic. That's not a question. The question only was a technicality. Do the three gorings have to be spread out over 3 days? Can they occur on the same day? And then the second technical question, how does it revert back to becoming short time again? So where did all this come from? What is the source of this entire story? So comes and says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Where did Rabbi Yehuda get his statement from? Yehuda starts off the Mishnah by saying, 3 days, each day 3 days. So Amar Abaye says, this is Shabbos is Kisner. This is Pashat Mishpatim. When we got to Pashat Mishpatim, I always feel tempted, like you tell them about Curry, like read a post, stop for half hour. I was just thinking about that. Think about all the camera. Hashem, I never chose to do. It's like boom, like they're throwing you a camera. But see, more. Everything, every possible is hours and hours of shiurim. So comes the Gemara and says, "By time to be, how do you know? What's the source?" Am Rabaye, Tmo Chad Mitmo Trei Shul Shom Plosav Loishmanu Bala Masal Gichurim. Says Abaye, it's simply a possible chumash. The Torah says first speaks about a short time, and then it says the Im Shor Nagachu Mitmo Shul Shom. So count up the days. What does Tmo mean? What was that? Like we say, etmol. So tmol, the word tmol means yesterday. What does mitmol mean? From the day before yesterday. What does shilshol mean? From 2 days before yesterday. So the end, yesterday, the day before yesterday, and the day before yesterday, are 3 days. The light spread above, and then the Torah says, and the owner's still not watching it. What does it mean? Just go the fourth time. So Abaye said that the Torah speaks out about the tmols, the mitmols, and the shoshoms, and the eshmeret, so the four negichos. So if the three became called the shomor, the fourth negichai nezik shalom, and sure, it's a pasuk chumash. Rava Amano, Rava says, tmol mitmol chad. Rava disagrees with Abaye's translation of the word mitmol, whereas Abaye saw in the word mitmol 2 days. Tmol meant one, and the mem added another one. Rava says that, if you look up in my dictionary, it says Rava, it's one day. Mitmol is chad. Shilshom. Shilshom means the day before yesterday. V'loy shmer ba'olav. And now the Torah says the owner doesn't watch it. Ha'idna. The third time. Chayim. See, chayim to pay. Wait a second. Did Rava say something radically different than Abaye? Whereas Abaye was able to dig up four different negichos of the psukim. Rava, because he stuffed together one and two into one, he's one negicha short. So what do we make of Rava's Rasha? Now, this is not just a theoretical question, because Abaye and Rava, we're going to follow Rava. We're very, very interested, very concerned to know what did Rava say. So Rashi, in Bava Kamma, on the spot, on Daf Chav Gimel, Rashi says that Rava says exactly what he sounds like he said, that to become a Shor Muad, you don't have to gore a fourth time, you simply have to gore a third time. According to Rava, he gores once, Chatzin Ezek. Twice, three strikes in a row, Not the three strikes you ran on the fourth batter, on the fourth pitch. Three strikes you ran on that pitch. It means you have to pay Nezek Shalom already on the third time itself. So it says, that's what the Gemara seems to say. So comes Tosfos now in Baba Basra, and now Sugi says, Rashi used to write those, or used to say this back in the Kama days. Comes Tosfos and makes reference to Rashi, now back to the fourth of the Rabbi Kamos. Mikan Chazamai Rashi, Rashi Rabbi Farshu Baba Kama. Gabi the Pligia by Varav, the Yaman by Tmol Chad, Mikmol Tre, Shoshal Plus, there's a Mala of Sonic for these. Varav, I'm just quoting the Gemara quickly. Varav Omar, Tmol Mikmol Chadim. So now this is where Rashi begins. The Abaye Sovar, the Abaye Hill. That you don't pay until the fourth time. And Rava says, you're chayiv to pay Nezek Shalom the third time. That's what Rashi and Baba Kama said. It also said, but Rashi got the Mabas, he realized they can't be one. The Imkain, having Masik Hacha, the Gemara, the Lokil Chasa. Our Gemara said, black and white, the fourth time. Remember, that was the most question. The Gemara said, why does it become a Chesed Zibu Shalom if there are only three? Why don't you need the fourth, like Shor HaMuad? So that question of the Gemara, the fourth, like Shor HaMuad, would be Abaye speaking. That doesn't sound right, because we don't follow Abaye. The local officer, the Kamalan, can rub like Abaye. We always follow rub against Abaye. That's a Gemara in many places. It's called the Al-Khagams. There are six cases in Shas where we follow Abaye against Rubber. This happens not to be one of them. So comes to us and says, that obviously our Gemara throws Rashi's pshat off. It must have a Baba Kama. So says Tosfos because of Rashi, that Rashi backed out from his pshat in the Sechas Baba Kama. Upiresh. So what is going on in Baba Kama? If Abaye and Rava are not disagreeing about the necessity for the fourth time, so what are they arguing about? The Mashmos Dor Shenika Beinayu. You know what they're arguing about? Nothing. Mashmos Dor Shen means everyone agrees to the same conclusion. They're just arguing in terms of the text of the psukim. How do we get to that conclusion? So whereas, according to Abaye, the Torah speaks explicitly about that fourth negicha. It says 1, 2, 3, and 4. According to Rava, the Torah just speaks about 1, 2, 3, and you figure out 4 on your own. But it doesn't make any real difference. It's just a question of how to derive the conclusion from the psukim. Everybody agrees to the conclusion is like state them of a master, chesed about them. Of course, you only chayev chatzin nezik in the 30 gicha, you only become nezik shalom in the 40 gicha. That was not, there was no halachic discussion. It was like this, the nuance, how do you get to that conclusion? Halacha based on the reading of the psukim. That's what Mishpoz Dorshu means. So, a lot of teeth out of that Gemara Masechet Baba Kama. Tosfos says, what do you want? Yeah, but Rambam Basra clearly shows that the other option is not possible. But Tosfos is already sensitive to what they just did. Because what Tosfos just did is they took a Gemara in Baba Kama that had Abaye dash in the Pasuk Azoi and Rambam dash in the Pasuk Azoi and everything with Machloikas. And Tosfos said, don't lose the moment. There's no real Machloikas. Tosfos said, we can't bring it. We go back to the drawing board, back to Baba Kama. There's got to be some practical difference between Abaye and Rav. It's not so good just to say, yeah, there's no real machlek. Just machlek is not a dash in the pasuk. No. There is a halachic machlek. It's a very real life halachic machlek in Abaye and Rav. Says Tosfos. But it's not what Rashi said it was. It's not 3 versus 4. The machlek is Abaye and Rav is important for a little bit of a different twist. And that's what Tosfos continues the next chapter. Rabbeinu Ezra Mefarish. Tosfos calls the name Rabbeinu Ezra. He's in Tosfos of Baba Kama, quotes the same chapter for Rabbeinu Azriel. So I imagine it was the same person. Either the shortened form or Azriel was the longer form, whatever his real name was, the same name, whatever it was. But this Rabbeinu Ezra, slash Rabbeinu Azriel, said the following. Mefarish, devadai lekuleyama lo mechayev adrevius. But Rashi said Baba Kama was not right. Obviously, when it says Baba Basra is carrying the day, that until the fourth goring, so there's nothing to discuss. Aval b'hoplegi, but there still is a machlekes Abaye and Rava. What's the machlekes? The le'abaye the mafik negicha revias mikra to lo yishmerenu im nagach negicha revias biyom gimel lo mechayev ashiyigach biyom revii. So comes Rabbeinu Ezra and says, the numbers of 3 and 4, of course you need 3 complete negichas, and of course you need to be chayev on the fourth one. But it's still important to know the source for that statement, because the fundamental question, Up until now, Rabbi Huda told us that the days are critical. I can't have a gicha here, another gicha in 6 months. It's got to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What about Wednesday? Does that fourth negicha have to be on Wednesday? What if the fourth negicha was on Tuesday? Do I need another day to create the fourth negicha? Or the requirement of day was only necessary to create the first three negichas? That's going to become the technical question. That's going to become the root of the machlokes of the Rabbis. So Rabbeinu Ezra and Tosfos are going to now take it down a little bit of a side trip. This is really a tangent of the sugya. We're really learning Baba Basra. But because the Gemara Baba Basra referenced the Gemara Baba Kama, we have to go back to that Gemara Baba Kama, figure out what in the world it meant. So we still have a little bit more work to do on the technicalities. We have to fine tune Rabbeinu Ezra's pshat tomorrow, hopefully, and then see there's another pshat that's going to have to fine tune the Gemara Baba Kama a little bit. And then hopefully by the end of the Shabbat tomorrow, we'll get back to the real, to our real sugya, to the real thrust of our sugya. What in the world are we talking about? What in the world is the comparison between Shamuas and Chesed Moshav? We have a little bit more Baba Kama work to do tomorrow, then we get back to the world of the Shabbat tomorrow.